And I want to thank you all for coming and standing with us in prayer with Terry. And I just love it when we have opportunity to do this and to share with each other our faith and our trust in Christ. And you know what's really wonderful is when we see the good things that God does for us through our prayer. And so don't be ashamed or don't be scared. If you have anything and you'd like for us to pray for you, please let us know. And we'll be happy to join in unison with you and go to the Lord and ask for help. It's a wonderful thing to do. And He asked us to do it. So let's do it. Amen? Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk with you about something that I have discussed with the Sunday night crowd at various times. We get off on rabbit trails on Sunday night, y'all. You should come. It's fun. And we talk about a lot of things. Our focus might be on John, but you'd be amazed how far you can go around the barn with the book of John. Amen? How many of you know what I mean by around the barn? The long way. It's wonderful to learn and to study and to experience God's words in so many ways. One of the thing that I'll be speaking to you about this morning is one of the trails we recently had through our study in John. And it's something that I realized I hadn't shared on Sunday mornings. And so it's something I think that we should look at. And it's a good follow to the time we had last week talking about keeping our hearts bridled and under control. And there's a reason. It's not just so we stay out of trouble, but we want to honor God. But we also need to be mindful of something else that I'll be speaking to you about this morning. So I'm going to ask that you will, if you will, to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and I'll be reading beginning in verse 11. Please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. And John the Baptist is speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Father, I thank you so much for this day, for this time, and I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us. Help us to see and to hear, to understand and to receive. And Father, I pray it is a time that honors you in truth and in sacrifice of ourselves to your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So when we talk about baptism, you know, we properly understand that we're talking about making it known to the world that we have given our life to Christ. John was baptizing. He was out in the wilderness and he was baptizing, and people were coming far and wide, and they were baptizing. But John was baptizing in water, a baptism of repentance. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees had all come as well, and they're gathered there, and John's having a conversation with them, and he's telling them, hey, what brought you out here? You know, there are some folks that think they don't need God's help or any blessing from God because they are already in a place of righteousness, when they are far from the truth and far from their Christ and their Messiah. Even in our world today, we have the same situation in the lives of people who think that they have relationship with God, and it's not what they think it is. And it's certainly not what it should be. And John is calling to them, he's preaching to them, and he says to them, oh, there's one that's coming after me. He's mightier than I am. I baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with water and fire. There's two things that are mentioned here. spirit and fire. And the two things that are mentioned here are of importance to us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And we certainly can understand with the following verse there. He says in verse number 12, His winnowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So He's talking about judgment. He's talking about a time when people will give an account for who they are in life, for the things they have said, for the things they have done. They didn't just let their yes be yes and their no be no. They didn't stop when the sign said stop. They didn't yield when the Spirit said yield. We're talking about judgment. And I know a lot of us, when we come to Christ and we have our faith in Jesus and we are secured for the day of redemption, we forget about judgment because it's said and it's done in Jesus Christ. Amen? But there's something you're going to have to give an account for. And this baptism of Spirit and of fire, I think we should understand that He's talking about us as well as those who are not part of the faith, not a child of God. And I want to show you this morning. First thing I want you to talk about is that we as Christians are all baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when John says that we are baptized in the Spirit, we understand. It is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we become sealed for the day of redemption. I am sealed. I am His. How many of you can claim that today? Amen. Amen. But I want you to understand there is a difference. We don't want to be confused with baptism of the Spirit and filling of the Spirit. Now this is a little something I want to add into this to help us get to where we need to be. Baptism of the Spirit is what happens when the Spirit comes in and seals us for the day and we become a new creation in Christ and we have that joy and that excitement. And I just want to tell the world. But being filled with the Spirit is another issue. Being filled with the Spirit is what happens when you are emboldened to take an extraordinary step for the kingdom, to stand in a place of ridicule above the others and make that stand for Christ like Peter did in Acts chapter 4. It says, Peter then, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers, You people and elders of Israel, if we this day are being judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and this is where being filled with the Spirit comes in, because you can say these kinds of things. And to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. You want to be filled with the Spirit, then you're going to stand before the world and before individuals, and you're going to say, you are responsible. You crucified Him. You blasphemed Him. You want to know how I stand here in faith and in the strength of the Spirit? It's because God is with me, and He emboldens me to do these kinds of things. I share with the congregation at times things that I know are going to hurt our feelings. But sometimes our feelings need to be pinched a little bit, don't they? Well, the Spirit is here to convict the world of sin and of judgment. And so we must understand. Rainbows and butterflies are nice, but we don't have them every day. But I do have Christ every day. And no matter what is happening, Christ is with me. And I am sealed for the day. I'm baptized in the Spirit and sealed for the day. And sometimes I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm emboldened to do what God calls me to do. Another step beyond what I thought I could do. A walk in faith a little further than I thought I could walk. And God wants all of us to be filled with the Spirit like that at times. All of us should have a moment in our life where we could look to, we could say, I stood for God without shame, with mercy and with compassion, the same as God stands for me. So don't be confused. When we talk about being baptized with the Spirit, we're talking about the baptism and the sealing. And then on occasion, we also have the filling, which is an empowerment to do a little more. And I want you to see this. Paul says in Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, about the baptism. We as Christians, baptism of the Spirit. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So all of us who are saved in Christ are baptized in one Spirit. John said he baptized with water, but the one coming after him who was greater than him would baptize with Spirit and with fire. We understand being baptized with the Spirit. We understand being filled with the Spirit. But what does he mean when he says he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire? Because he is talking about judgment. And what's our relationship to this word judgment? Are we going to be judged? Do I have anything that I should be ashamed of, concerned about? Daniel chapter 12 says something we need to hear. He says, many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall, they shall understand. Implication that Daniel is giving us is that those who are of faith are going to be purified. What does it take to purify anything? How do you purify silver? How do you purify gold? How do you purify precious metals? With fire, and you burn away the dross, you get rid of all that stuff that makes it unpure. And Daniel is alluding to something that's going to happen to make those that are in the family more pure than they are. So let's keep that in mind. The baptism of the Spirit and of the fire. Now, we also understand that when baptism of fire comes, it comes with judgment for the unbeliever. The great day of judgment, the great day of the Lord, the Lord's day. We talk about the great white throne and the judgment of the Lord that comes in that day. And that's not for us, by the way. That's not our judgment. That's the judgment of the unbelievers and the punishment that comes upon them for eternity. So it's not talking about that. Malachi speaks to that. He says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, and that will leave them with neither root nor branch. It's going to be the end. They have nothing that can give them life anymore. There's no root. There's no more branch. They can't draw water from the ground. They can't draw sun through the leaves. They are consumed. And it's eternity. And that judgment comes through fire. But Malachi also says something in the previous chapter, and he talks about purification of believers. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, you find this: but who can endure the day of his coming? Now let me tell you, he's speaking about the coming of the Messiah. And he says, my messenger will precede me. He will prepare the way, and I will come. And then he gets into the moment where he talks about the coming of the Messiah. And in verse 2 he says, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. And like launderer's soap, he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. How many of you know who Levi is, the sons of Levi? Malachi is talking about the sons of Levi. In the Old Testament, there was a tribe, the tribe of Levi. How many of you know anything about Levi? Because let me just give you a quick overview of who Levi is. Levi is the tribe that was set apart for service. They were set apart for service. They didn't inherit any land. You know, all the other tribes got land. You remember in the Old Testament when they started dividing the land, all the tribes got land, but not Levi. Levi was set apart to do service for the Lord, and they would work in the temple. And what they would do is they would assist the priest. They would do maintenance. They would help with the ceremonies. They would sing in the mornings and sing at night. So Levi was the one that was working and praising and assisting and doing the work of God to help the priest in the temple. And I wouldn't say they were much different than what Christians are supposed to be today. Would you? Aren't we called and set apart for the service of God in Christ? Aren't we made a new creation in Christ for works to bring God His glory? Not that works is going to save us, but that the works we are called into when we are a new creation in Christ are those works that glorify God. And what are those works? They are helping the needy. They are helping the poor. They are visiting those in prison. They are singing the praises of God. They are teaching the wonders of God. And they are helping us to all be unified together in the body of Christ. That's what Christians do. That's what Levi did, the tribes of Levi. And now in the new age of grace and in the new covenant with Christ, we like to call ourselves people born into the priesthood of the believer. Well, let's get to work. Let's do what we're called to do. Let's sing and let's praise and let's help. And let's find the world that needs to hear it, the good news of Jesus, and let's share it. So we understand who Levi is, and we understand who we are in comparison now in the age of grace that comes with Christ as compared with the tribe of Levi and who they were in the days of the Old Testament and the temple worship. Okay? How many of us inherited a new land in Christ in this world? This is not my home. I'm passing through. Don't we have so much in common with the tribe of Levi? Malachi says that he will purify the sons of Levi. Well, why do they need purification? Why do they need to be put through a refiner's fire and purified like silver and gold? He says, this is why. So that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. In righteousness. I want to tell you something. As good as your relationship might be with God, you still are in the flesh, aren't you? You still have tarnish all around you. And it's not completely cleaned, and you're not completely righteous until Christ is finished with us, until we're in heaven with Christ and we have that new body in Christ, a new creation again in the twinkling of an eye. There's some things that have got to happen for us. John said the one that was coming would baptize with Spirit and with fire. We understand fire is going to be that thing that judges wickedness and all of the evil in the world, and it's going to be burned up completely. There's not going to be a root or a branch left on those who have walked away from Christ. There's not going to be any life in them. They are going to be stubble that is just burnt up and consumed. But the sons of Levi have got to go through purification too. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean to us? This I want you to really hear. I want you guys to pay attention to this, because Paul in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 gives us the words that we need to have to fully understand baptism of the Spirit and of the fire. Paul says in verse 10 and following, "According to the grace of God which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." He's talking about the foundation that is Jesus Christ. And people have laid the foundation of Christ before us, and they will lay the foundation after us as long as God tarries. He says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." You see what Paul is telling us? We are building on the foundation that is Jesus Christ within us. And every day we are building with gold and silver and precious stones, or we are building with wood, hay, and straw, or stubble. And when we stand in the presence of Christ, oh, my friends, what a wonderful day it's going to be. But don't think you will escape without giving an account for what you have done during your time of salvation and sanctification on this earth. Because Christ is going to reveal our works as through fire. And all that we have done that brings glory to God and was a sacrifice for God and His glory, it will be purified like gold and silver and precious stones, and it will be beautiful. But all that we have done that satisfies self and flesh and the world, it will be burnt and gone. And if all we have ever built is wood, hay, and straw, but you have that foundation that is Jesus, You can still say, "Thank you, Father, for saving my soul." Because Paul tells us, if anyone's work he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved as through fire. Because Christ is our foundation. I'm not my foundation. Christ is my foundation. You are not your own foundation. Christ is your foundation. What you do, if you do it of your own accord and for your own praise, it is for you. It's not for Christ. Even if it's a benefit to Christ, it's not going to bring you any glory or any opportunity to provide reward to Christ through it. If you're receiving the glory of men in this world, then you've got what you worked for. And when we stand before Christ, we will give an account. And my friends, how many of us say this to ourselves and to each other? Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven. There'll be no more tears and no more sad goodbyes and no more crying. How many of you know when that actually happens? If you go to Revelation, it's all the way at the end of Revelation. And Revelation 21, it says the new Jerusalem, where God will wipe away His tears. That's when He's brought everything to an end. That is after the millennial kingdom. That is after Satan is released on the world and gone to war with Christ again. But we are already with Christ. Why are we still going to need to have tears wiped away? By the way, let me ask you this. If you stand before God and He applies a refiner's fire to your life and you suffer loss, what does that mean to you? Does that mean that because you're saved, you don't have to suffer anymore, you don't have to worry anymore because everything is all said and done? Or do you think that God's word is real? Do you think when He says you will suffer loss, you will feel that loss? You will feel that shame? John said we would be baptized with Spirit and with fire. Malachi, he gives us good indication of these things and that the sons of Levi will be purified so that they could bring a righteous offering to Christ. Do you know it's not until after we're purified in the presence of Christ that what rewards we might have, then we lay them at the feet of Christ. Then we lay them at the feet of Christ. Do you realize that when the new heaven and all of the creation that God brings into the new Jerusalem, when that is all said and done, it says to us in Revelation 21 that there will be nothing allowed into that place that brings a tarnish. No sin. None of it. Nothing that isn't glorifying God. So how's God going to get rid of all of that? Through the refining fire. I'm sharing this with you this morning because I want you to understand, if you are truly saved in Christ and you have the seal of the Holy Spirit, then you need to rejoice. But don't live like you can just do any old thing in life, because you will have to account for that. And when you stand before Christ and you go through that refining fire and you suffer loss, you will feel it. You don't suffer in the eyes of Christ and not feel that. You don't look at something that you had and say, oh, it's gone, and not feel that. And I would have you suffer as little as possible. I don't think there's any one of us who doesn't have wood, hay, and stubble on their foundation. But don't make it an everyday building process. Don't feel like you can just live any old way and continue to do any old thing and God has to forgive you. And that in a twinkling eye, you're going to be a new creation and you're not going to feel pain or have any more tears the rest of your eternal life. When God doesn't wipe away tears until the new Jerusalem comes in. So much further down the road. Do you know God doesn't give us the answer for everything that happens between then and now, does He? He gives us what we need, though, to get us into eternity with Him. And that's forgiveness of sins through our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. But He wants you to understand, you can't make a mockery of your life or of Him and not give an account. I don't want anyone to leave and stand before Christ in heaven in eternity and say, well, Brother Joel said, I wouldn't have to answer for all this. I want you to know Your salvation is secure in Christ. The foundation is there. You're saved even through the fire, because the foundation is Christ. And that's the only thing that saves any of us. But I want to be able to give something back to Him. And what I build on that foundation, when that refining fire takes place and there is anything left, and I can look at it and I can say, God, this is for You. I'm not going to keep any of that for myself. I'm not going to, my crown, I'm not even going to try it on. How about you? I'm going to give it back to Christ, because it's His. It was done for Him to bring glory and honor to Him. And the sons of Levi, only after they are purified can they offer in righteousness fully what God is calling from us. What are you building with on the foundation? That's really the question, isn't it? God is wonderful. His Son saves us. And His Son keeps us every day. But He says to take up our cross and follow Him. He says, why do you call Me Master if you don't do the things that I say? And the words are clear. Before anything is brought into the barn, it's going to be cleansed. The chaff will be separated from the wheat. You realize the wheat's still part of that that's getting tossed around. And then the chaff is burned away, and then the wheat is brought in. I want you to know, if you are saved in Christ, you are secure in Christ. But be ready to honor Him as He has honored you. Because we will have to say, I'm sorry. We will suffer loss if we aren't prepared. And Christ is calling us to be His people and to be what He needs us to be. To sing in the morning, to sing in the evening, to do the works that Christ has called us to do, to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And so I'm challenging you today. Live for Christ as He lives for you. And find that peace in knowing that what you've done at the end of the day brings honor to Him, the same as He brings honor to you. But you got to be His. How many of you are His? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Have you been forgiven of sins and have that foundation under your feet to keep you from sinking into eternal loss? If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, today is the time that we have. Today is the day. God is calling. I am pleading. Will you come and find peace with Him while there's time? And He will strengthen you to face the world. And He will walk with you even in your weakness to be your strength when you face the world, so that that day, when you stand before Him, before that refining fire that is Him, you will have something to give in righteousness to Him. Will you come while there's time? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy upon us. And Father, I thank You that You love us and keep us despite all of our failures, even our rebellion against You at times. Father, You love us. Thank You so much for grace and mercy. Now strengthen us again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while there's time?